Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, a verse you'll be very familiar with. And as you are turning there, I want to share that what I'm talking about tonight, I have actually thought about many times over the past several years since Michelle and I went to Israel. Israel was a wonderful trip for us to really see the Bible come to life. And if you ever have the opportunity, I want to encourage you to go. Go to Israel and see the Word come alive. It's one of the most phenomenal things. I don't believe it'll be our last trip over there. If the Lord tarries, we'll do it again at some point. But while we were there, a story that I'll share with you. Every time we were in Jerusalem, we were traveling around that area, we would see young people right out of high school. And these young people, men and women, right out of high school, they were carrying their military issue weapon with them wherever they were. I mean, they could be in the square eating and they had their guns with them strapped around their backs. And so we had the privilege of meeting with one of the higher ups in the Israel army. And one of the questions that we obviously had was, why do they do this wherever they are? And they said, something that you don't think about in the United States that happens in Israel is you got to understand we are surrounded on all sides by people who want to kill us. There is an attack daily that you don't hear about in the United States, a daily attack on us somewhere in our borders. And we have to be ready at all times. All of their young people, when they graduate high school, spend 2 years in military service. Mandatory, men and women. And they learn how to handle a weapon, and they learn how to be ready in a moment's notice. And so their goal is to have their military ready for deployment within 5 minutes of any attack. Now, can you imagine graduating high school, young people, and you are in the military, but you are on vacation or leave, and your requirement is, wherever you are, is to have your gun and to have you be able to be ready within 5 minutes to prepared for battle. And I just thought about this because that's quite an amazing thing that we here in America, we never think about that. You know, there's not an attack on our borders 5 to 7 times a day. There is a battle brewing there all the time. We were driving in a bus and we were right next to a couple of the lines and they said 5 miles from here, you wouldn't want to be. I'm like, well, I don't really like being just 5 miles from there. You know, that's not real comfortable. But anyway, there's just a battle going there all the time. And so Ephesians 6, I want to read this in chapter 6, verse 10 of Ephesians about a battle. And I want you to take that story I just shared with you, and I want you to apply that to your life. Because you may live in the United States of America, and you may think that battles are not going on every day physically with the military, but there's battles going on, and let's read about them in verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, comma, you got to hear this right here. This is important. It tells you what you are to wear. And it doesn't say put it on when you see a battle. So you got to see this right here. It says, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth, the body, and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Church, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Do you see the symbolic that I'm talking about with the military, the young people? They're ready at all times. They don't leave their military mindset. But here's what happens. We come to church on Sundays, and then we go out, and on Monday and Tuesday, we lose our military stance. And battles are brewing, and things are happening. And I mean, the devil has every intention for you to get all wound up and messed up, and I'm out of here. I'm not going to deal with this no more. The battle is not flesh and blood. And if you're not spiritually prepared, then the flesh and blood battles will get you. They're not flesh and blood. They're way deeper than that. But if you can't fight on the deeper side, then the flesh and blood battle will get you. And I want to talk a little bit about the flesh and blood battle. And as I'm doing that, I want to bring scripture into this and understand that right here, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 tells you how to fight the battle. In the spirit, you've got to fight it. You've got to pray in the spirit at all times. Pray in the spirit at all times. When? At all times. Well, when should you not? You should not never. Pray in the spirit at all times. You got, that's just what, on every occasion. There's an occasion every day as soon as you get up. Pray in the spirit at all times. You got to be persistent in your prayers. And you got to be persistent for all believers everywhere. Why? Because every believer is in a battle. Every believer. You know, as you live life, I'm going to tell you with some age and life experiences that you're going to have battles. You may be going right now, it's not that big a deal. Life's not, you're going to have battles. Come on, any amens there? You're going to have some battles. And you better be prepared. You better live dressed. You better be ready. Let me just go out on another limb. You'll never move to a place where there are no struggles. Let me say that again. You'll never move to a place that there are no struggles. I've seen people spend their whole life moving from one place to the next, trying to get rid of battles that they're facing. I mean, trying to get away from struggles, trying to get away from problems, trying to get rid of themselves from certain people. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I'm out of here, moving their whole life, trying to get away. I've watched people change their job every 3 to 4 years. Just, they can't handle it. They weren't happy at their last job, and then they get this one, and it's the greatest one ever. But give them 3 weeks. There are people that I know that are in family and relatives and friends that we have watched, and they'll get a new job, and we're hearing them talk all about it. And my wife and I will then leave, and we're not trying to talk bad, but we're just, the best indication of future behavior is past behavior. And I've seen that happen 100 times. As soon as we walk out, Michelle goes, I wonder how long this one will last. Or I'll say, I wonder how long this. Why? Because they can't handle a job more than 3 weeks. I'm not mad at them. I'm not frustrated with them. I just know that they can't handle it. 3 or 4 weeks, they're going to be looking for another job. What's mad, frustrated, I'm fed up. I have watched people change churches. You just know when someone comes here and they're disgruntled at the church they just left, the first thing that goes through my mind is I just wonder how much time it's going to be before they're disgruntled here. I've seen it happen time and time again. Everything is exactly the way they want it when they come. I mean, they're just, oh, it's the greatest place ever. Just give it a little bit. I'll get on your nerves. Or someone here will. You just give it a little time. And I watch people change churches. You know, even deeper, I watch people change marriages. They can be married for a short season. They find a mate and, oh, this is wonderful. But then, I just can't handle it no more. And after the 8th or 9th marriage, after the 20th job. Yeah, are you hearing what I'm saying today? See, there's battles that the devil is trying to destroy God's people with. And at some point, you just got to say, you know what? I'm just going to struggle with any wife I get. So I might as well be this one and just stick it out. I'm going to struggle wherever I'm at, so I might as well just learn to do it here. But I know people that I like this place, or I used to, and I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to stay in this church because all of them are messed up. I understand that, and I might as well struggle with this group of people. I kind of like a few of them. Maybe I'll just stay with this job. I mean, I've struggled with everyone I've been at, and maybe I just need to work on staying here for a while. Maybe I'll just stay at this school for a while because, I mean, this school, I struggle here. I struggled every other one I've been to. Sometimes you just got to get older to finally figure this out, don't you? I'm hoping that this word tonight will encourage you in some area, and I don't know what that area is. But the fact is, you'll eventually have to fight that battle for whatever area you're battling right now. And you're going to have to fight it here, or you're going to have to fight it in Florida, or you're going to have to fight it in California, or you're going to have to fight it in Arkansas. You're going to have to fight it wherever you move. You're going to have to fight that battle. See, there's not just, oh, I'm going to get out of this. Nope. The devil knows that's the area that he's got you in. And you keep running from him, and he keeps fighting you right in that same area. That same area, he just keeps pouring it out. Whoever you work for, whoever you marry, whatever church you go to, you need to come to a place and just say, you know what? This is the hand I've been dealt. Let's just play it. Yeah. Fold, fold, fold. And before long, you've lost all your money because you keep putting an ante up. Shouldn't be using that as an illustration, but you understand. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. That's why you left. Psalm 55:17, morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me, though many still oppose me. This is a great verse for us. Come on. You're always going to have somebody opposing you. And know this, it'll happen right in church. You're going to have somebody in church opposing you. You just got to know it. People are not perfect. And they will fail you at some point. They will fail you. Boy, this is an encouraging word tonight. Your coworkers, your family, your spouse, your church full of people who aren't perfect. And you know what? You're not going to believe this, but you're not perfect either. Oh, well, I know. That took some breath away from me. You're tired of putting up with people. I understand. Well, there's people who are tired of putting up with you. And you just might need to hear that tonight. See, we got to learn how to live life in the midst of a battle that's on us, either with people, circumstances, situations, whatever it is. See, I can make my wife more mad than anyone else I know. You guys ain't got a case. There ain't no way you can touch how mad I can make her. I don't encourage you to try, but I can do it. I can put her right on the edge of total frustration. And I don't really know how, because with my glowing personality and humor, you'd think that would, but I can do it just like that. Is it not amazing how we can take the people closest to us, and that's our major battles in life? It happens. And we want out of this battle after we've created it. Oh, I want out of this. Our theme this year is stronger and stronger. And if we're going to get stronger in our marriages, in our jobs, in our church, in our communities, if we're going to get stronger and stronger, we've got to learn some tools in these battles. We've got to know there's going to be a battle and you're going to have to fight it. I mean, it's just in this theme this year, that's going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, turn there with me. Chapter 10, verse 3. One of the biggest battles we face is not outward, it's inward. Our thought life. Boy, our thought life, it just, oh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Let me just give you an encouraging word tonight. The first three words of verse 3 in chapter 10, we are human. We are human. We're human. Let me tell you, the frustrations that you're facing in life are because somebody's human. Somebody's human. They are. I mean, we are human. But we don't wage war as humans do. Or do we? Are we going to come in and start this major battle? whatever the situation is, are we going to come in and start this battle, or are we going to recognize, whoa, I'm a Christian. I don't wage war like humans do. I can tell you how humans wage war. They're going to come in and talk bad about somebody. They're going to come in and tell you all the things they hate about this situation. They're going to come in and tell you how that color is not right. They're going to come in and tell you how, I can't believe we're not moving forward. I don't know where we're spending money here. I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know about this job, but I've already fixed that. And if you want it fixed, you can hire somebody else. And we're going to be on and on and on. See, as Christians, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. Or do we? Sure we do. And what I'm trying to encourage you tonight is we got to quit this. We got to quit waging war as humans do. Now it's work because we're human. So we got to put some work in here. There are thoughts that come that if allowed to grow will weaken you. And we're going to get stronger and stronger this year. So know this, verse 4. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. We've got to bring every thought captive that doesn't line up with Jesus. That's how you don't wage war as a human. And if you leave Jesus out of it, you can just count on you're going to start waging war as a human. It's just, that's what's going to happen. I'll give you three thoughts tonight. Three thoughts that will hopefully encourage you as we all face battles, but you got to take this. And what I want to encourage you to do is don't be thinking about somebody else's battle because everybody's got one. And we can think of what somebody else is dealing with. I want you to find an area in your own life that you're battling. And I want you to recognize what's going on with that. How is this happening? What's happening here? What do I need to do? Because we as people, we tend to love to fight everybody's battle but our own. I mean, we got everybody else's answer, but we can't figure out how to get up and be in a good mood. So we got everybody else's. Let me just tell you, here's what the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And we're going to come and give everybody a prophecy that God spoke over. But no, we're not looking at ourselves. Well, let me just tell you what I got today. This is what the Lord gave me for you. Why don't you get something from the Lord for yourself? Well, that pastor, I can't believe you'd say that. Don't get in the ditch on this because I'm teaching from the ditch right now. Obviously, there are times that the Lord speaks and wants to encourage somebody through the word and through you to. But when we continually got to correct everybody for what they're doing, and we've got enough areas on our own to correct. Here's the first point that I want to give you tonight. Many battles are not yours. I see this in every age of life. Young kids, they take on everybody else's battle. They're going to tell what everybody else is dealing with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. This should be your ambition. To live a quiet life, minding your own business, and working with your hands, just as we commanded you before. We don't read that verse a lot, do we? It's not a verse we bring out a lot. This should be your ambition, to live a quiet life, minding your own business. Mind your own business. But we just can't because we got the answer for everybody. Come on, I'm talking to a Wednesday night crowd that's well-versed in Scripture. And we do, we got the answer. And everybody else needs to hear it. I love the way the Message says it. The Message Bible says, tend to your own knitting. That just brings it to life. Attend to your own knitting. We got to stop condemning each other and we got to get out of others' battles, especially when we've not been asked in. Now, here's what we do. We fight other battles because we'll jump on a side and when we're talking to someone else, we'll tell which side we're on. Well, I know so-and-so. Let me just tell you what I know about him. And we're going to stand up on this side, and then somebody else is going to stand up on another side. And before long, we've engaged in the flesh and war battle. Instead of, you know what, let's pray and believe God's best for that person. Let's spend some time. Let's put on some truth here. You don't know what you're talking about because you've only got one. Always know this. There is more than one side of the story. Boy, it took me a few years to get a hold of that, because when somebody tells me something, I'm like, I'm mad with you. But I have learned, you got to know, if you're going to come and tell me a story about someone, I know it's only your opinion. It's only your side, and you may have a bunch of facts, but I've always found when you talk to the other side, there's another story. And usually it's totally opposite of yours. I mean, I don't know if any of y'all have seen that, but here's what we've had to be real careful about, Michelle and I, and I'm giving you some leadership technique that would help you in your life. Be really careful about jumping on somebody else's battlefield. If they came for some advice, then pray with them and bring some spiritual counsel into it. And don't be trying to wage the war with them in flesh and blood. We understand that as Christians, our war is not flesh and blood. So we need to fight this with some intercessory prayer. We need to fight this with understanding what the Word says, how much you've been in your Word lately. This revelation I've just started living by for several years, Michelle and I found ourselves always fighting someone else's battle in our own mind. That's just where we were. And I mean, we've had to help each other out with this, and we've had to say, whoa, wait a minute. That's none of our concern. Now, I don't want to get negative about this, because it is spiritually, but the flesh side of it, it's none of our concern. And even though I got an answer for their marriage, I got an answer for their finances, I got an answer for their inability to show up at church, I got an answer for a lot of things, here's the problem. It's not my battle. Now, if they come and ask me, I can get into agreement, I can bring some spiritual, some counsel, I can bring some prayer power into it. I can get on that battle, but I need to get on it spiritually, not in flesh and blood. But as Christian people, we're all about fighting the battle in flesh and blood. And there are times with the Soji ordinance, you've got to fight it. I understand. You bring it down, but we still fought that in the spiritual realm. See, there's some things that I want to make sure you don't get in the ditch in everything I'm talking about. But I have found myself, and Michelle and I both, living life more frustrated with people's future, about their job and about their finances and about their family than they were themselves. I cared more than they did. I work with so many young people around here, and I'm just sometimes thinking, how are they ever gonna make it? I mean, but then you know, they're skipping and happy and everything's great. I'm like, you should be scared. Life's coming. Listen to me. I mean, get your kids out of high school and you watch what happens. You've got, you got to do that all the time. Because I know what they need. But you know, every once in a while they surprise me and I realize I didn't really know. But I've had to learn that their battle's got to be their battle, and I'm going to fight with them spiritually and on my knees. I'm going to fight with them with the Word of God. I'm going to be in agreement with them so they can win the battle. But what we do is we watch people spend money like it's going out of style. We watch them do things where they're never going to get a return on that blouse. I mean, you're not ever, I don't understand any of the, and I'm going to try, give that money to me and I'll show you how to make something out of it. See, I mean, all of these thoughts, and I can live my whole life worried, frustrated, eating Tums like they're going out of style because I've taken on everybody's battle but my own. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Yes, these people have made a huge mistake with what they just did, and you've seen it. You've seen it. You work with them. You've got relatives. What are you thinking? The decision they just made. The person that they're dating. Are you kidding me? I mean, for the family to make a decision that family just made, and I can write down what I'm going to see happen over the next few years. And I'm probably going to be right a lot because they're not willing to make a change. But for me to lose one night's sleep over something they're not listening to me about anybody, they're not going to listen to anything I have to say, nor anybody else. I see people making these huge mistakes, and I'm bent out of shape. But it's not my battle. It's not my battle. Now I got to pause here. Because here's what you got to know. you fighting a flesh and blood battle that somebody else flesh and blood battle, you won't win it for them, or you'll create somebody who's dependent upon you and not the Lord. If that's parents, you'll do that with your kids. You see them get older. You make them dependent upon you, then there's no dependency upon the Lord. And so you got, boy, I'm gearing up for Saturday. If you're missing Saturday and you're a parent, you're going to miss something because it's going to be good. But you got to get to the place in life. You got to get to the place in life where you recognize all the battles aren't yours. They're not all yours. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. I'm confident. Let me give you another clue here with this, and this isn't a second point. It's going along with the same one. The Bible tells me to pray for them. The Bible tells me to disciple, to love, to forgive. The Bible tells me to counsel, but not to force counsel. And so I have learned that even though I might have an answer, I need to keep my mouth shut and ask the Lord to provide that. And sometimes He can do that through you. The Bible tells me that I need to pray, that I need to teach, that I need to counsel. But the Bible does not, hear this today, the Bible does not hold me responsible if they choose not to listen or come to me or hear anything I have to say. I don't see that it holds me responsible for them accepting or rejecting my forgiveness, but I still have to forgive. A lot of people, they wouldn't accept my forgiveness. They wouldn't accept it if I said, you're forgiven. They may not accept it, but that has nothing to do with whether or not you should. See, you're not taking on this battle. You're just doing what the Bible says you're responsible for. The Bible, however, does hold me responsible for me loving them regardless. And we've got to watch that we're having a biblical approach to what's going on. At no time does the scripture hold me accountable for what someone else does or doesn't do. Are y'all getting this? See, it's important that we know that, because especially us parents, we're real quick to take on every battle for our kids. We're real quick to take on every battle for our spouse, for our brother or sister, for our mom or dad. You and I both all the time watch huge mistakes people are making. And if you've been in this church any time at all, go to Walmart and just watch all the mistakes. Just what they wear to Walmart. Who told you that was okay to wear? Come on. Walmart sells clothes. Come over here. I'll make a donation. But I've not ever done that because it's not my battle. Some of them. We see huge mistakes people are making in parenting their kids. And I'm not saying that I have it all figured out, but I'm continually trying to work it out. And one of the things that's got my mind wrapped around me all the time is the knot I have in my heart for people whose marriages are failing and they don't even see it. It's tough. Everybody here's got some area that they're fighting right now that's somebody else's battle. Everybody does. And I don't know why I'm even talking about this tonight. I just know the Lord led me to speak on this evening. I'm going to go to every battle I can with every marriage that gets a knot in my stomach, but I'm not doing it by going and throwing my advice out there and telling them what they need to do. I'm going to do it on my knees. I'm going to do it in prayer. And then they will have to make the decision of whether or not. Now, if they come to me, Pastor, Ashley, Michelle, I need some advice. You got to know I'm going to make a way to give it to them. But I used to fight every kid's battle with the music they were listening to. It was a fight that I had all the time, trying to get kids to understand that the path you're on is not going to work. And I'd just go, and I'd be bent up about it. Second point tonight, I've got three of them, I got to move. Many battles are insignificant. So we got to make sure we're not fighting ones that aren't ours, but you can know that a lot of times we pick up battles and they're insignificant. We live in complete frustration about insignificant stuff. I mean, does it really matter, if you were here Sunday and heard my message, does it really matter that the walls are purple? Yes! No! In the end, it doesn't matter. You're taking on battles that and you're throwing a fit about something that doesn't matter. Men, it's way easier just to pack three suitcases for your one night out. It is. It's just, I don't ever complain about the amount I used to. And then we get in the car and I'm like, okay, I've packed all your stuff and now we're 20 minutes late. And and all that stuff was in there whether I wanted to pack it or not. It's all in there. She's in the car. We're on our way regardless. And what I've done is I have set the course for the next 4 hours of what she's not going to say. It ain't going to be nothing. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to be just fuming and she's going to be not saying anything and I'm going to get more fuming. And I just took on a battle that was insignificant, but I made it significant. How many of y'all don't raise hands? Come on. Everybody here's done that. You ruined your whole evening because you took on an insignificant battle. It happens in our homes all the time. The devil knows how to get you. The amount of shoes that they're bringing on that trip, I understand. Hey, I just took, I'm going to be right with her. If she's taking four pair, I'm taking six. I'm just loading her up. It don't change the fuel mileage anyway. It's inside the Airstream. See, it's just not worth winning this battle. The reward for winning the battle you're fighting is not worth the prize you're going to get for winning it. And everybody married knows exactly what I'm talking about. You get to say, told you so. That never really feels as good as you think it's going to. It don't. The consequences are horrible. You want to eat here? You want to eat over there? Well, I don't care. All right, so you go to there. Well, I really wanted to eat over here. You just said I don't care. Has anybody been there? You can nod. You don't have to. I don't want to cause more trouble after you leave tonight than when you came. So the boss wants you to do something and you get mad because they've asked you to do something. You know, what difference does it make to you? You're getting paid to work. Well, I just never have understood that. You're getting paid to work, yet you're going to argue with what the boss just asked you to do. I've never got that. I don't make any sense to me at all. Why do I have to do this? Because you're getting paid to do it. Well, I already did it. Well, do it again. Well, I don't want to do it again. You will have to do something to keep the job. Why not just do what's asked? But we're going to take on an insignificant battle and we're going to lose a job over it. That don't make any sense to me at all, but people do it all the time. So you're getting frustrated about something you're going to have to do anyway. It's called work. Well, I've already done this, so do it again. So I mean, the reward of winning or getting your way in that battle is not worth the loss of the job. But I see people fighting job situations all the time, and they were paid to come work, just work. If you're asked to do it again, do it again. If they're asked to do it over, do it over. Number three and the last one. You know, we get so worn out from being in battles from point number one and two that when you're really needing to fight a battle, you don't have any strength left. And this is where I find Christians all the time. They're fighting other people's battles or they're fighting insignificant battles in their own life. And then when they really need to fight, they're not ready. And I want to encourage you tonight, get rid of the first two so when you get a battle that you need to fight, you're there and you're ready for it. You're built up spiritually. You've been in your prayer closet. You're in the Word. You've got the truth of the matter. See, we get so worn out in battles we didn't need to be having that when the real battle's here, we're not fighting it. And that's where we find Christians all the time. See, since you are now in a life-altering battle, you're going to lose and your life is going to be altered. And I don't think you have to be. You're so frustrated about everyone else's kids that are needing your thoughts and your input and your work and your help. You've wrapped your mind around everything they need to do. You're losing your own kids. I see that with parents a lot. Fight your own battle. That's insignificant, but then when your fight's there, you don't have any strength left. I see this with evangelist pastors and church workers often. They're fighting for everybody else and they're losing their own family. We get so consumed in everyone else that we forget that our kids need someone at home cooking dinner. Our kids need someone out in the yard throwing a ball to them. Our kids need, see, we're caught up on, I'm going to help everybody see Jesus, but our own kids aren't seeing him. Well, there's got to be more work put in to what we're doing. You're choosing the wrong battle? Then just quit. Quit that battle you're fighting that's somebody else's. Quit making big mountains out of molehills. It was spilt milk. Clean it up and go on. Good grief. But we're letting that one little, it's ruining our lives because we're fighting the wrong battle. You got to stay dressed with the Word of God. You're never going to find a place where there are no struggles. You got to start taking thoughts captive. Did you get anything out of this tonight? You got to take thoughts captive. You got to start allowing you to be on the winning team by fighting your battle spiritually, praying in the spirit at all times, not coming in trying to fight for a kid or fight for a spouse or fight. Enjoy life. Enjoy people in your life. Don't live so frustrated all the time. Good grief. Can you just smile? There's something that provides some peace about that. Many battles aren't yours. Many battles are insignificant. And what you got to know is we have a responsibility to stay ready. Stay ready. Are you ready? Who knows what the devil's going to throw at us tomorrow? But you better be ready. You better be in your word. Better be in your prayer life. And when he comes and tries to attack, it's just like, they just hit my shield. Because I'm not over here trying to put my shield out for everybody else. Got it right here. I'm strengthening where I'm at, and we're going to win this battle, but we got to win it individually and then in our own families before we take this out here and win for a community.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.